Book of Psalm, chapter number 100 tonight. Book of Psalm, chapter 100. There's one verse I'd like for us to notice here. You don't need to stand. We're going to be looking at that, then I want to share with you another verse. And when you stop and think about these, they seem contradictory. Chapter 100, verse number 2 says, "Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Serve the Lord with gladness. Now consider this. Out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." Think about that a minute. He said in Psalm, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And then in Matthew he says, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto," and goes on to say, "but to minister unto." The Word of God, we find, is calling you and I back from idolatry to serve God. He has saved us to serve, not to sit. But we also find that when God calls us to serve Him, He wants us to serve Him properly, not in a wrong manner. So He's concerned with keeping us from serving Him wrongly. God warns against anything where we make Him the beneficiary of our benevolence. Now think about that for a moment. And let me take you to the book of Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse number 24 and 25. And there we read, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Does God need whatever it is we want to give Him? The answer is obvious. God is not in need. There is nothing that we can really do for God. When you look at the religions of the world, basically all the other gods want man to work for them, to make it more enjoyable for them. But God is not an employer who depends on others to make His business to go. Consider that. God does not need you and I to make things happen. God is all-sufficient. He is able to do the work Himself. He is quite capable of all that needs to be accomplished. Men are dependent partners just waiting for the Lord to work through them, not to necessarily work for Him. It is for His purpose. In other words, God is not looking for people to work for Him, but He's looking for people who will let Him work mightily in and through them. Do you catch the difference? God doesn't need us, but God wants to use us. In the verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 16 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." God wants to work through us. God wants to accomplish in us and through us. What is it that God wants from us? What is it that is going to make this take place is something we might consider. God isn't looking for the best draft choice to make His team win. I remember one time we had a lady that came to our church, and she was, quite frankly, in love with Elvis Presley. She thought, "My goodness, she said this to me one time, if Elvis Presley could get saved, can you imagine what it would do to the world? Can you imagine the impact that he can make in his life?" And I didn't want to pop or bumble, but I said, well, you know, God is the one who's able to do things in people's lives. And if God was going to use Elvis Presley, he'd probably have to humble him a great deal before that would take place. And here was an interesting scenario. Consider this. God doesn't need you to be the quarterback to run the team. Matter of fact, God is the quarterback, and He is the running blocker. I mean, all He's going to do is say, here, hold the ball, follow me. He is the all in all. And so often we think, well, if I don't serve the Lord, then I'm not going to be helping God. We're not helping God. We need God's help to do the work. We need Him to work in and through us. What is it that God wants from us then in the matter of service? Well, really, what God wants from you and I more than anything else is simply our dependence. God wants us to depend upon Him. He says, casting all of our care upon Him, for He careth for you. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He wants you and I to be completely helpless, that He might then be our all in all. He wants you and I to be the helpless patient, if you please, that He might be the doctor, He might be the nurse, He might be the medicine. The Lord Jesus, He said it like this, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God is seeking for those who will allow Him to work in and through them. Our very lives depend not on working for God, but on allowing Him to work in us. That's true in salvation, and we get that, I think. The Bible says, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. We know that the more we work at salvation, the deeper in debt we go. The worse it is, because we are sinners by nature, we're sinners by action. And we do not get ourselves out of that hole. Only by the grace of God we are saved. But do we recognize that we also must depend not on our works in the matter of sanctification, but upon His working in us? But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He goes on to say, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you and I tonight are going to have that which we're excited about, which we're going to glory in, it's knowing that He is the one who is whatever is being accomplished is because He is doing it in and through us. As long as you and I are figuring out ourselves and we're doing it ourselves, then we're not giving Him the glory. We're taking the credit for it, and we are believing that we can do it. What does God want us to do? God wants us to learn to depend upon Him, not only in the matter of salvation, but in our day-to-day lives. We're to serve the Lord, but there are some things about servanthood that should be avoided, and there's some things about it that should be affirmed. I want to take you to two different verses tonight, which perhaps could be considered key verses to give us insight in this matter of allowing God to serve through us. So if we're going to serve the Lord, it's allowing Him to do it through us. Book of Psalm, chapter 121. If you're in chapter 100, you can turn over a few pages there. Chapter 123, excuse me. Book of Psalms, chapter 123. And if you'll notice with me, verse number 2, it says, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. As the eyes of a servant look unto the hand of their master, or of a maiden to the mistress. What's he saying here? The way to serve God is to be like the maid who looks to the mistress for mercy. Like the servant, as he's saying here, who's looking at the master, longing for the mercy of the master to be extended to him. Any servant that tries to get off of receiving mercies and strike up his own partnership in working for God, in other words, I'm doing part of it and God, you can do a little bit of it too, we are now in the position of rebellion. We're no longer a servant. We're not allowing Him that access through us. We have become like unto Him because we become masters. Servants are always in the position of mercy. He gives mercy to servants who will have it, and the wages of death to those who won't have it. Good service is always receiving mercy, not giving assistance. So if we're going to serve the Lord, it's, Lord, I need your help. I need you. If you sat at the piano, Mindy, and it's, boy, I can do this. Lord, I need your help. There's another thing. You know? If I come to the pulpit, I'm saying, boy, I can do this. Or, Lord, I need you to show your mercy through it. There's a big difference. How we need Him to work in and through us, not us doing it for Him. I hope we're making sense with that. There's another verse I'd like to take you to. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. And this one, really, if we pick this apart a little bit, I believe can really help us to understand this. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What's God say there? God says you can't serve both of them. So we're going to look here. And first of all, I'd like to ask the question. He says you can't serve God and mammon. How do we serve money? That's what mammon is. How do we serve money? We don't assist it. It's the benefactor. We don't make it any better. We do what we can to allow it to work in our behalf. It exerts control over us with the belief that it will bring great benefit and happiness. I've heard folks say, well, money doesn't buy happiness, but I'd sure like to find out. I'd like to experiment with it a little bit. Because down inside, we really believe, especially we as Americans, we believe that money can buy happiness. We believe that money has great benefit. And so it exerts a control over us because we believe it can do something for us. This control says to you and I, get in position to enjoy its benefits. Get in position to enjoy its benefits by stealing or borrowing or working. There's people who will do all three. There's some that would only do one. And many would do two of those. By stealing, borrowing, and working will get us into the position, what? To enjoy its benefits. If we have it available, we think, my goodness, I can have that. Money promises happiness. And we serve it by believing the promise and living by the faith, by doing what is necessary so as its power will be at our disposal. Is that starting to make sense? We're willing to do whatever it is to put ourselves in the position whereby we can have it work for us. In other words, that we might have it. Well, isn't it interesting that God said in that verse, you cannot serve God and mammon? Was God trying to teach us something by putting Him alongside of money? Was He trying to help us to understand a principle here? That He might open our eyes to something that's vastly superior in offering happiness. Is not that the Lord? Cannot God exert a greater control over us than money? Seriously? Cannot He provide those things in our lives? We serve by believing His promises to the fullest. We serve not by trying to put our power at His disposal, but by doing what is necessary so that His power is at our disposal. In other words, it isn't us giving power to money. It's us putting ourselves in a position where it can empower us. And by the same token, we don't give power to God, but placing ourselves in position where He can empower us. So He's taken a tremendous illustration, you cannot serve God and mammon, to help us understand here a principle. If we're going to serve God, we must put ourselves in a position to be at His disposal. What's that mean? It means simply being obedient to Him. It's like the patient who obeys his doctor's orders in hopes of getting well. After I sat down with my doctor this Monday, he told me that I had very slow response time from the nerve to wherever it went, to my brain, I guess. He says the signal's slow. And he told me there's some things that we can do for it. And so they have learned that there's certain places they can inject basically a Novocaine to bring a block. I don't understand all of this. And what it does is keep the certain response to go to the brain. Because what I have is like two wires that are crossed. The insulation is gone from them. That's what causes my problem. And those two nerves are crossing. Because they cross, they send a signal to the brain. And the signal can come in many ways. For me, it's like a prickliness. It's also some pain that sometimes I register at 6, 8, 9. And other patients have other kinds of things, and it's always the same. It's basically the same thing. Those nerves are crossing. And so the doctor, he said, you can do that. And then with that electrical pulsation, can basically reset the nerve. Like when you turn your computer off and turn it back on, it can cause it to reset or reboot, might be the term. And he says through that, we can alleviate the pain. And for me, he's hoping that also bring back the feeling of touch, because I've lost that, have been numb in my feet for many years. And he said, if you'll come in for about 4 weeks, he says, I believe that we can find this thing to be taken care of. And I thought, amen. He said, some might go a little longer. I thought, praise the Lord. What else you want me to do? Jump through some hoops? Well, today I went, and they didn't do injections, but they stood me on this little thing. And so I'm just bouncing back and forth. It's a stimulant to the feet. Why am I doing it? Doctor said so. I'm seeing a PT, a physical therapist. I'm standing on this little board. I think I'm in the circus now, because it's got a little ball on the bottom of it, and I'm balancing on it. Why am I acting like an idiot in this room? Because my doctor said so. It's to help to stimulate some things. And now when he said, sit down in that chair and let that thing do what it does, I'll do that. You don't even have to tell me to do that. Have any of y'all been in one of those chairs? You been in one of those? I've been told that the manicurist does those. Pedicures. When I get done, I'm going to start having pedicures. But why do we obey their orders? Because they're seeking to bring about benefit to us. We put ourselves in position for the doctor to do what he wants to do or needs to do in our lives. This is what we're talking about when it comes to serving the Lord. It's putting ourselves in position to allow God to work in us and through us. And then what takes place is this. God gets the glory and not us. Because we recognize then that we had nothing to do with it. But it is all from above. And that's why God wants you and I to allow Him to do it. Because He's not saving us to get the glory. He's saving us to get the glory. Amen? And so often in modern Christianity, we think it's all about us getting the glory. It's all about us having fun and all these kinds of things. No, it's all about God doing what He wants to do in us and through us. Putting ourselves at His disposal. It's basically saying, here I am, Lord. Whatever it is You want me to do. And then it's, Lord, whatever it is You want me to do, I need You to do it through me. I'm not bright enough. I'm not capable enough. I don't have these things. I need You. That's called dependence. Amen? And that's what God wants us, be dependents. Then we become Christ ones. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank You that You so love us. Thank You, O God, that You gave us salvation. Lord, it was just for us to receive. Lord, You gave us a place of service, but yet it's still just a place to receive of Your strength, to receive of Your ability to work in and through us. Lord, so often we look at Your work and we think we can't do it, and quite frankly, that's truth. It's because You want to do it through us. Lord God, give us that awareness. And Lord God, that we might have that kind of dependence upon You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.